You know what time it is? It's Saturday, and it's time to talk with Emma.
You're listening to Saturdays with Emma right here on BBS Radio Channel 1. Now here's Emma.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the show. We've got a jam-packed show for you. I've got a really super lady that's going to be on the show today. We're going to be talking about publishing and making life better and all kinds of stuff today. My guest is Donna Sebo. I hope I said her last name right. She is an internationally recognized award-winning author, publisher, keynote speaker, renowned mental practitioner, teacher, broadcasting personality, and host of international talk shows. And if that doesn't keep her busy enough, she's an ordained spiritual minister and counselor, and we are very, very lucky to get a few minutes of her valuable time. We are excited to have Miss Donna on the show. The phone lines are going to be open, so if you want to talk to her or maybe get a free reading from her with her mental abilities, the toll-free line is 888-627-6008, or the direct line is 323-744-4831. So call in, say hi, talk to Donna, ask her questions. She's all up for this. So we are ready to go. Welcome, Miss Donna. You are a very busy lady, and we're
thank you very much. I'm so delighted we've had this opportunity to connect, Emma. This is a delight.
Oh, it is a delight for me. I've been with this all week. I've been so excited about this all week. And I went on your website and was looking around and got some stuff, some information and stuff. Everybody should go to her website. We're going to give that out here in just a second. And so you wear all kinds of hats. So let's start with the author hat.
Yes.
And you're a children's author of at least three books that I know of. I'm sure there's more. How did you get started in writing?
Well, actually, I've been writing forever. It just seems like that was a part of me. I would journal. When I worked for one company, I developed a newsletter, so I was writing editorials. And when I started doing my own programming many years ago, I found that a good way to keep in touch with people was to produce a newsletter. And mm-hmm. it was something that I became involved with. But you asked me specifically about the children's book. That was not a fast journey. That was a very slow journey. I wrote my very first children's book, God's Kiss, back in the 70s. And I gave it as a gift because I had no money to spend for gifts for friends. I went and I sent them this story that I feel was just downloaded into me. And the response I got back from people was, you must make this into a book. It was 20 years before I was able to find the artist that did the illustrations in God's Kiss. And they are just magnificent. And children love them, adults love them, and I then, also at the time, put together the talking book. I did the narration for the story and the different animals in the story, and it's about a little boy that has a dream journey that takes him into a valley with children and animals from around the world, and they're there in this wonderful valley to have this experience, and it is something that any child of any culture, no matter what their background might be, it's very inspiring because the children are kissed, and they're kissed by snowflakes. And it is a story of love and beauty for children. And the response that I got from children after it was published, and I self-published, And at the time when it came out, which was in 1994, there was a very distinct attitude about using the word God in a title. And to me, it's a multicultural word. And it was something the public received the book very well. But it was a challenge because bookstores, even Christian bookstores, did not want to even carry it because of the word God. Now, today, that's not the case. But back in the 90s, there was a specific attitude about that word. But I kept on. And I actually have many other stories that I want to publish. And, of course, the second one was called The Magic Hat. And that is about a little girl who is in a very bad automobile accident, and she's dying. And then with that child, then there is sadness because she doesn't want to live. And there is a nurse by the name of Annie. And this second book is placed in the time period of the 1950s. And what happens is that Annie, who is known to be a little bit eccentric, she loves to go to thrift stores and buy unusual hats, and it's quite a topic of conversation among her colleagues. And she has a crotchety sister that just thinks that she just is not being practical enough. She shouldn't do things like that. So we have another character in there that adds a lot of personality to the story. But Annie has a knack with children. And her knack with children is through the power of storytelling. And she ends up sharing with this child who is just not responding at all. She tells her a story about a prince and the king of horses and a princess. And that story, that fable, evolves into a very special journey that the prince has to take to prove that he loves this woman, that he wants to be his wife, who is the princess. And there's that adventure with the king of horses. And it all is so inspirational to the child that the child is intrigued with the story. And Annie becomes a very good friend. And the child gets well because of the way the story impacted the child's mind. And then there's an epilogue. The epilogue to that book is when the child, many years later, Annie's retired from nursing, but the child, now a beautiful young woman, brings the magic hat, which was part of the story, brings it back to Annie. And that hat is put in a very special place in the town's museum forever to be witnessed that there is still magic in life. And then book number three is The Woodcutter and the Tree, and that's my most recent, and then COVID hit. So we weren't able to continue with the other book until I think next year we're going to start up again. But this one is about the woodcutter and the tree. And the woodcutter and the tree is placed in medieval England. And there is a real magic with the story because there is someone that wants to buy an area of valley and destroy an oak tree that is hundreds of years old. And when a woodcutter goes out to cut down this very ancient, magnificent tree, he finds that he falls asleep and the tree talks to him, telling him of a history of the valley, even of his family that he had no idea about. And eventually, making a longer story short, it is found that the person that wants to buy the property really doesn't care about anything but his only position, and he wants things his way. But the mayor of the village that had agreed to the sale of the property finds out that there actually is records show this property did not belong to anybody excepting the people of the village, and the mayor did not have the right to sell the property. And so, well, the tree is saved, but there's a lot of mysteries that come up, come out, and are resolved and solved. So those are my three children's publications at this time. But I've also done Mind Magic, which is a CD publication, and I published this many years ago to assist people with understanding the development of mind is very normal and natural. And then also there is what I call a little book, The Miracle of Eight Pennies, And it's a story about a woman I actually was aware of and was standing in line behind. And the experience that I had listening to her story about a miracle that occurred because of 8 pennies that were given to her when she was a child.
Oh, wow. That would be pretty cool. I mean, miracles happen. Yeah, miracles happen every day. You just have to open your eyes and see them. But because of 8 pennies, that is pretty fascinating. Now, I also mentioned being on your website earlier in the show, and I saw where you won an award, a Pinnacle Award for the Magic Hat. Tell us about this award. I didn't even put that in your intro that you are an award-winning author. I'm so sorry.
Actually, yes, I won a number of awards with my very first book, God's Kiss, and with the Magic Hat, I won an award with that, and I'm so busy, I don't submit my books for awards. I've got too many things going on, and I just totally forget about it. Actually, I think I need an assistant of types that says, let me do it for you. you know, it's one of those things that the response of children makes all the difference in the world to me. And to me, that is very significant. I appreciate awards, and I understand that, but I won awards on both of my, two of my children's books, and I would have probably won an award on my third one, but I just haven't submitted it for anything like that. But I really, I've got some others that are ready to go into queue. I just have to get the illustrations done, and I have a fabulous, fabulous artist. And because I want things, each and every book, to stand on its own merit, then I design things accordingly. And it really is very rewarding because it offers a diversity for children. And I don't dumb down my material for kids. Kids are amazingly intelligent and capable of absorbing images, information, and it's just a delight to interact with them.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, it's fascinating what they pick up on and what they get. As you said, I mean, a lot of people dummy down, you know, and I'm the same way. I don't dummy down. It's like, you know, you get this, you understand this. This is just fascinating to me. I could sit here and talk to you all day. But we don't have all day, unfortunately.
Well, that's why we're broadcasters, dear. I mean, we have a gift of gab. That's exactly why we're here where we are.
So speaking of broadcasters, you two international radio shows.
Yes.
And the one that really fascinates me the most, because my family is military. My grandfather was in World War II. He served under George S. Patton. And my brother, who recently passed away a year ago in February, he was in the Army for like almost 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was down in Fort Hood, down in Texas, and then he went to Iraq, two tours of Iraq and the first Gulf War. Anyway, Warriors for Peace, this show, tell us about that. How did that come about? What's going on with that? This is great.
Well, let me do a little bit of a backstepping here, because the Daily Donna Sebo show was started in 2001. And at that time, the internet really wasn't in the strong, powerful positioning it is today. It was beginning, it actually had begun back in the 1990s. But as far as broadcasting went, it really was not what I'd call that effective. The technology was not sophisticated enough. And I started my programming then, and I found that I was with terrestrial radio, and then eventually I moved into, in fact, I was with BBS, the station that you're associated with, and Don is very familiar with me. I was then with them for a few years, and then I moved into other arenas in the internet, and finally was given the opportunity to have my own network, which is what I have currently. And that started in 2014. And when I started it, it was fascinating to me in 2014 how it gave me the freedom to be able to start Warriors for Peace. And I got the concept for Warriors for Peace. My daily show is an hour long, and I can take calls on that. But Warriors for Peace is a much different format. I feature men and women from around the world, and it often encompasses history. For example, I just finished an interview a short time ago with a woman deeply involved in sports and the history of women in sports. And Warriors, I've featured many, many veterans and history and their experiences, whether it's dealing with PTSD or various aspects of past American history, European history. All of these things are important, but Warriors come in many different formats. And many times there are those people in life, whether it's in the medical field, the business field, it doesn't make any difference. There are so many people that are never given the recognition about what it takes to be a warrior. And it's not about fighting. It's about character. It's about integrity. It is about speaking the truth. It is about telling things as they are. And right. I have found since 2014 that I've had 9 years of interviewing just exceptional people. And it gives me an opportunity because it's an hour of uninterrupted programming. My daily programming is very, very eclectic, and I have all kinds of subject matter. Animal, vegetable, mineral, you name it, I have the opportunity to talk about it on my daily show. So it has many different components to it, but I give a very straightforward dedication to whoever is the author that I am featuring on Warriors for Peace. I do the same with my daily show, but that's only a half hour interview with authors. So it's an in-depth conversation that I have with Warriors for Peace. And I will tell you that because of my format, they basically being featured around authors, that I'm considered one of the best interviewers in the country. And that's because I review the material. I read it. So when I'm having a conversation with someone, when I am addressing whatever issues are being brought up, many times I pose questions that the authors very seldom have a chance to even answer. They're never asked the question. And I like to think that the programming is thought-provoking. If there's one thing that I've learned about being a broadcaster is that how you communicate and the diversity of information that you're able to share with people, many times it can plant a seed within someone's mind that has otherwise not been open to different thinking, ideas, or considerations. And that is what we, I think, as broadcasters, have an obligation to do. It's not about sensationalism, not with my programming anyway. It's about informing, educating, and making people aware of the fact that sometimes we have beliefs and biases that we have accepted and bought into because that's how we were told to think or to feel.
Right.
And when we can step outside of that box, and I think Warriors for Peace enables me to go into more depth of information than sometimes I'm otherwise able to do. It enables a person to maybe ask themselves questions or open their eyes to different perspectives. So for me, that's what my programming is all about. My shows I've done for 22 years, and I was in broadcasting long before that. So I've been on both sides of the microphone, just like I am today, and I'm just so pleased to be able to share my conversation with you.
Well, I'm just fascinated because I have these questions and you answer them before I can ask them. And that's what I like in someone that I'm interviewing because we're on the same wavelength type of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just fascinating. And you're right. I mean, people nowadays, I mean, I could be wrong about this, but they don't think out of the box. They don't, you know, question things. You know, at my regular job, they're like, you know, little robots. And I'm thinking, and I'm the oddball out, because I would ask, well, why can't we do it this way to get the same outcome? You know what I'm saying? Just kind of question what's going on and ask, you know, questions and delve into this, you know, and it's like, okay, this is a good idea. Let's keep going with this. And everybody just kind of looks at me like, what are you doing? You know, we just want to know.
But that's not unusual with human beings. Human beings typically are that way. I have been that way. I would be a hypocrite if I would say, gee whiz, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. But it took me a long time to make it okay, one, to be the odd duck, to be the person that would pose questions and to not take it personally, because someone else would look at you and would say, well, that's the dumbest question I've ever heard. And you say, well, gee whiz, I don't have an answer. Do you? Why do you think it's a dumb question? As I tell my clients when I'm working with people as a counselor, a minister, or in the psychic capacity, there's no such thing as a dumb question. If you don't ask questions, and if you're not willing to explore, how are you going to know what the variables are? See, so many times people are controlled by others because they think that the other person is more intelligent than they are and has, you know, degrees. Well, I've met a lot of very stupid people that have PhDs. And I'm not against PhDs, but these are the facts of life. To be able to question and not be afraid of questioning. If somebody puts you down for that, then this is something where you have to ask, what are you afraid of? Why are you so unwilling to answer the question? And many times they don't have an answer. And so they'll pull your bluff.
Yeah.
Took me a long time, to be able to question.
Don has a question, I believe. Go ahead, Don.
Sure.
Oh, sorry. Oh, Deborah. Deborah, we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Donna.
Yes.
You know I love you, and I just adore you. We've been working together for, I don't know, almost
9 years. 9 years, Deb.
Yes, I know. So I'm calling in to support you, and I just want to get a short reading because we advertised that. So I'm hoping other people might call in for a reading, too.
All right. Well, Deb, the first thing I want to tell you is there are some documents that need to be refiled. And when I'm saying it, there is something here that's going to be coming up, and I'm not sure about the time frame. I don't know if it's 2 months or 2 years, or it's the second month of the year, which would be February. But these are documents that you need to be able to put your fingers on immediately. And there is and has been in your thinking, gee, it would be better if I titled the file such and such and such, because that would resonate with me if I need to pull it up. So I don't know if this has to do with something with insurance or whatever it is, but you want to be able to pull up those documents very, very quickly. Also, there's something about storage where you have some items that you feel you need to repack in case there might be moisture or whatever. There's a lot of things that you're ruminating on that I think are very practical, things that might be concerning the home or might be concerning some other things. Again, they're very practical components, and I want to say take one at a time. Whenever the thought comes into your mind, I should examine this, or it would be a good idea if I did this, thus, that, and so. If you have a journal or a to-do list, whatever you would want to describe it as, just write it down and then periodically go back and review it, and you'll know exactly what you need to do. Now, the financial picture that I'm looking at is that there's going to be a big upgrade in something with financing. I don't know if you're going to be taking on a new project. I don't know exactly what this is entailing, but it's as if I am able to graduate into this other level of financial stability, and I really like this. Also, I'm looking at you doing some writing, and you're getting ideas and concepts. And again, just like with the journal, I want you to be able to put it into a journal or into a particular computer file, these concepts that you're going to write about. And I would just say put in the little bits and quips and whatever it is that you have, because I do think you're going to want to put a book out in about 3 years, and it will have a particular theme to it. And this theme is going to be something you'll ruminate on, and you're going to change it, and then you're going to add some things to it. But as I'm watching this in my mind, you are changing your perception of what you really want to be engaged with. And there is something relative to public work that you are going to find yourself choosing to become engaged with. And it's going to be very satisfying to you. And it looks like you're associated with another person. I don't know who the individual is, but you have this association and you're saying, this is fun. This is interesting. It is expanding my world. I feel like I'm a part of something that's bigger than I am. I really like it. And I would say that you are going to find this year a little bit confusing in the way that you're perceiving certain things and you're feeling a sense of dissatisfaction. And you go, gee, I don't understand why. I've got so much to be grateful for. Why in the world would I even begin to be dissatisfied? And I'm looking at this and I want you to know it is because it's time for you to grow again. It's time for you to expand yourself, and that is why the dissatisfaction will be there. So when you feel this restlessness, this dissatisfaction, then I want you to just acknowledge it and then just sort of in your mind, ask the question, what do I need to be paying attention to? Don't make a big deal out of it, but it's what do I need to pay attention to? And you're going to find that the flow of coincidences, synchronicities, you'll maybe pick up a magazine that has an article and you'll go, wow, this really resonates with me, and it'll move forward. So you've got a very interesting year. You're not going to feel deprived. You're not going to be feeling in any way, shape, or form that you're on a negative side, but it is time to grow again. Do you have a question?
Thank you. Donna, I've had this idea of writing this children's book, and I have no idea how to write a children's book. I know you do, but I've had this idea that's ruminating in me, and you've just given me the confidence to kind of go ahead with it.
That's right. Just write it out. Don't worry about having everything in place. Just write whatever comes into your mind and allow it to be.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
I really appreciate that. All right, well, have a great show.
Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Oh, wow, that was pretty spot on. Oh, my gosh. Donna, that's amazing. See, I was getting ready to lead into this psychic end of your abilities here. This is what do you see for me? Just give me
a lot of hard work.
A
lot of hard work, because you are at a crossroad right now, and you have to make a decision, and it's encompassing you mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Now, you have actually been at this crossroad multiple times, and in the last 4 years, you did a pushback. And you did not want to go into that crossroad positioning because it meant that you would have to make a decisive positioning of action, thinking, organization, and you just said, I've got too many other things on my plate. I just don't want to take it on right now. And so where you are at this point is you realize you don't want to go backwards. You want to be able to maintain stability and move forward, whatever moving forward means to you. What is occurring, however, is that you have too many voices in your head of other people's opinions. And the statements by certain individuals that you have a great deal of respect for and regard for, you really need to put in the trash can because you are trying to fill something that doesn't exist. You're trying to put yourself into a framework that is not a framework. It's like a stack of weak noodles trying to form a framework. And if you've ever seen a wet noodle, you know it doesn't hold itself. It can't. It's going to go into a blob. So
exactly.
What you need to be aware of is that the choice that you will eventually come into full possessioning with by the 3rd of March of next year, that choice is actually going to be made in the last quarter of this year. But it's going to take a while for you to be able to put everything into positioning the way you want it to be. Now, that's very, very important for you to understand. You are not going to have things moving that fast, even though I see with you that you really like getting things done and you want it boom, 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 boom. It is not going to work that way. It is not going to work that way.
Yeah, that's the Capricorn in me. I want to know what's happening. I want to know the end. I want to know what's going on. I want it done now.
It's not going to happen that way. You need to be aware that you've got to tie up a lot of your loose ends. And I'm looking at you spending time by yourself. I'm seeing you sitting up in bed, and you've got, I think, a computer in front of you. There's something that you're watching. And as I'm looking at you, you are watching something, but you're not watching it because your mind is off in another direction. And I would encourage you to have a pad of paper and a pen in hand and to write down what is going through your head because it slows down the thinking where you are going to be able to connect the dots of how you need to get from A to B to C, or if you are extremely well organized and very present with your circumstances, you can go from A to Q, or maybe even to Z.
Right.
So it is a process of learning on one hand, and in the process of learning, you must dump the biases, attitudes, commentaries that other people have made through the years and realize that they were coming from their positioning. They may mean well, but the one thing you detest is anybody trying to manipulate you and to make you into what you feel you are not. But you've not been consistent enough in supporting yourself the way that you should, and this is not a criticism, because you have to, at some point, and this is where you are right now, it's at an apex, be able to go and say, now it's time for me to move forward. These are the decisions I need to make. This is my integrity, my purpose, my dynamic, and I must march to my own drummer. That is very important, but you're not going to be able to move quickly because the process of replacing that which you discard will be very significant. So certain biases, resentments, again, dictate by other people as being, this is black, this is white. This is your challenge this year. And I believe you're going to be able to see what I'm perceiving very clearly by the 1st of June of this year. And then when you see it, you're going to know what you need to do. But as someone told me many, many years ago, nature abhors a void. So whenever there is something that has been in your life, let's say a belief system in your life, and that belief system has been like a steel rod put down in the ground about 500 feet, and it's like that is the end all of end all. However, what you find is that it doesn't hold true. So when you pull up that steel rod of belief, there is a hole in the ground, and you have a choice. You can replace it with something that's better, or if you leave it vacant, you're going to go right back into that old steel rod. And it's like anything else. You need to remember, you're going to have the choice here. This isn't something that's being dictated to you. You will have the choice for the changes that you know you need to make. And it will be fascinating to you this time next year when you're able to see exactly what it is that you need to bring into your life to create the harmony and the consistency for accomplishment that is most meaningful to you. Do I make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everything that you were saying is like, yep, that's right. Yep, that's right. Yep, yep, I did that. And you're right. I mean, I can't decide whether to stay where I'm at or move or start this or start that. And I want to get this radio thing going more. And it seems like every time I get started, something happens. I get sick. I break my leg. I hurt my hand. To where I can't quit the real job, for lack of a better word. And do this, which is a real job, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it just irritates me to no end. So I'm sitting here thinking, well, if I just go in and say I'm done, and then just jump into this radio thing, it's like, now what?
Well, why don't you approach it from another modality? Why don't you look at it with different eyes? The job that you have brings you the discipline that you need to stay grounded.
Right.
And it gives you the opportunity to take care of whatever your financial responsibilities are. So instead of being frustrated with the job, be grateful for what you have in that respect and say, all right, what adaptations do I need to do? And you could have an option of maybe doing a certain kind of work part-time. You might have an option of being able to actually determine where you would like your income to come from. If your mm-hmm. income is going to come through the medium of radio, then there may be an opportunity for you to do part-time work with maybe a terrestrial station or become educated and trained in some way so that you become more sophisticated with your skills. And ask yourself, what options would you have for making an income? Is this something that could possibly be on a part-time basis for you as you do your research and your investigation?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that really calls to you, and what is it that really is most meaningful to you? And in the interim, while you're going through the questioning and the examination, looking at what you have that's enabling you to do exactly what you're doing right now, then you ask yourself, how is it that this is something that I can monetize? What are my options? And that's what you need to look at. It might be an affiliation with certain organizations. It could be any number of options. But it doesn't mean that in any way you are making a mistake by staying in your job at this time. It means that you have to think differently so that you don't go through what you perceive is a sabotaging situation. And being able to look at things from a different angle, from a different perspective, it could be something that could really work out well for you. Let's say someone became aware of you and decided to have you as a master of ceremonies. You could perhaps have a job working with weddings or doing something else, and at the same time doing your programming. Am I getting across some concepts to you?
Oh, absolutely. And I've been thinking along those lines, you know, doing something part time, you know, till it gets going. So yeah, I mean, and everybody listening, if you want to call in and talk to Miss Donna as well, the toll free number is 888-627-6008, or the direct line is 323-744-4831. And Miss Donna, it's just amazing. I have so many more questions, but I don't want to take up the whole time in case somebody else is calling. But it's like, and just one last thing. I'm thinking about moving because the rent is going up and it's going to be more than, you know, I think I can pay. I want to buy a house, but I don't know if I want to stay in Indiana or do I want to go, because I've been to Texas. I like Texas, but I've been drawn to, I keep wanting to go to South Carolina. So what do you think?
My feeling is that part of this desire to move is that you're restructuring your life. And
right.
That's why you need to give yourself some time. And you need to ask yourself, in as much as you are in Indiana, where mm-hmm. is it that you can find the opportunity to use the skills and the interest areas that you want to be a part of? How can you make a choice so that the environment you're in will support what it is that you want to achieve? And I would encourage you, you're looking at the Carolinas. It all depends on where you are in the Carolinas. It depends on what it is that you really want to focus on. Because each of the places that you have mentioned, each of those areas have their own culture. And those
right.
cultures are pretty strongly established. If you were, let's say, wanting to move to California, you don't have the strength of cultural boundaries like you do in the South. And I think that that is something you need to consider. You need to ask yourself, what kind of an environment do you want to be into? Do you want to be in the city or close to city? What is it that is making it attractive? You might be impressed with the fact that Carolinas are so pretty, they're so nice. Well, that's true. But what about the educational opportunity? What areas are going to be most compatible with what you're interested in? That's the same for Texas, no matter where you go. Those are the
right.
basics that you need to look at. And it all has to start with you. The fact that the rent is going up really isn't what's behind the desire to move. What's behind your desire to move is that it's time for you to grow and expand as an individual, as a woman, and to really look at the kind of lifestyle that is most significant to you. What is it that is really calling to you? The restlessness and the anticipation, because you could work with the rental increase. That's not something you would have to get rid of at this time. It is
right.
a matter of thinking about what it is that is most meaningful to you and what is it that you have as an objective that you would like to reach. And it's so important. Technology has changed many things, but one thing is very, very real, and that is wherever you choose to put yourself, there is going to be that cultural environment that can be very, very confining, or it can be very, very open. You must look at what is most meaningful to you. Just to move doesn't make any sense. You need to really look at what is in you and what it is that is most meaningful to you. And I repeat myself for a reason, because too often people say, I just want to move. I just need a change. Well, you don't ever, ever get away from who you are. And you could move to the Carolinas. You could move to Texas. You could move to any place. But you still are going to have that confusion and that frustration within yourself. It's not going to go away just because you've moved. You carry yourself wherever you go, 100% of the time. So the real issue is about you as an individual and what you are growing and wanting to grow into that makes the difference.
Wow. See, I just want to move somewhere warm. I mean, it's like I'm tired of snow. I'm tired of ice. I'm tired of, you know, because I've got arthritis really bad. And in the winter time, when it gets really cold, I can't. My hips don't want to work. My knees don't want to work. I somewhere warm. That was the main objective to moving, is somewhere warm. And then, but you're right, because I go with me wherever I'm at, and I never thought about, you know, all the concepts and the cultures and the, I never thought of that. So, that's amazing, Miss Donna. That is too cool. That, I just, oh my God.
Well, wonderful. I'm glad it's helped.
Well, it did. And I thank you for, you know, talking this out with me, I guess, for lack of a better word. But, you know, so we still have about 10 minutes or so. And once again, if anybody wants to call in and talk to Miss Donna, 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. And so let's talk about your, you started a network. Let's talk a little bit about that. When did that start again, and how did that come about? Just to refresh people.
The network that I have at this time is the Donna Sebo Network. And that started in 2014. And as I mentioned earlier, I have been broadcasting long before then, actually starting my daily show in 2001. And in my life experience, whether it was with the children's books or my shows, it has been fascinating to me the amount of years that it took to be able to enter into the environments that really were only just beginning to bud when I started, and they've expanded exponentially in amazing, amazing ways since then. And I would say that if someone, for example, was interested in developing and understanding their intuitive processes, if they're wanting to be a business person, whatever it is that really calls to them, when you can explore, when you can have hands-on experience and realize, just as you're realizing, Emma, at this time, that you have to understand that there is no part of your experience that is not going to serve you. You could, like I have been in work with police departments, I have been with insurance agencies, I've been with so many different environments in my life. And then when I was directed, if you will, the process of getting into the psychic area, when I was told that was going to be my work, my life's work, I was stunned because it didn't have any logical precedent in my mind. That isn't what people planned for. Well, as it turns out, this has been a significant part of my life. And I have literally talked with tens of thousands of people. And it's not an exaggeration, but needs to be understood. This wasn't done overnight. Where I am today as a human being, as an individual, as a woman, if this has evolved through millions of experiences, good, bad, and ugly, when, as human beings, we're in our life experience, whatever it might be, that life experience is going to encompass so many variables. And what enables us as individuals to be able to become real contributors in life is when we realize that we've had all of these experiences for the purpose of being able to be the best we can be. And you're going to have failures. You're going to have disappointments where your heart is broken. You think the dark night of the soul will never leave you. You feel like you're drowning, as if there's no hope whatsoever. But this is part of living. It means that you have life in you and you have capability of choices. The broadcasting for me, because of the format that I have followed and that I've been engaged with for 22 plus years, it has enabled me to see that the path, the choices that we have, and we always have choice whether we choose to believe that or not, those choices that are in front of us enable us to either grow as people or fall flat on our face, or maybe we stay in limbo for a while. But you cannot grow without these variables. And I have had well over 10,000 teachers, and they've come from all walks of life, from all kinds of cultures, from all kinds of experiences. And I feel I'm very fortunate, but I have to be very frank. I opened the door for that. Nobody opened that door for me. When the opportunity came, I had to be willing to step up, turn the knob, and say, okay, let's do that. It is a challenge, and life sometimes puts you on hold because circumstances are not where they should be for you to be able to do what you really want to do. And that's happened to me so many times in my life, I just laugh about it at this time. I say, I call the customer service department of the universe. They know me so well, it's about that woman calling again. Oh, Lord, let's put her on hold and she'll go away. But that hasn't happened yet. So it's something about life. And you, when you are open to it and realize that you're going to have your falls and you're going to have your disappointments, your heartbreak, that you're also going to have joy, that again, you have choice, and the choice of who you are, where you put your mind, how you determine your actions, all of those aspects are yours. You're endowed with that, and there will be people that will argue with you over it, but when you can recognize that you've already got that, you are becoming aware of what it really means to be a free person. And that's not easy for people to attain, because that means you have to grow up and you have to be wise enough to fess up to where maybe you made a bad decision and you go, okay, I'm guilty. Boy, if I hadn't have done that, I would have been in a much better space. Okay, so what can you learn from that failure? What can you learn? So you can leverage that. And then you learn that life will have a flow to it. But there is a reason for so much that goes on in life. And we human beings are so good at creating our own dramas. Good Lord. We get bored and we want to create misery. Or we want to create havoc. Or we want to do this, that, or the other. And you go, why bother?
But that's exactly. Life.
That is life.
It's like, what? Yeah, life's complicated enough. You don't need to help it along.
Well, a lot of people feel that they're not, that, you know, that life is unfair to them and that, you know, they're entitled to something. Nobody's entitled to anything.
Well, don't get me started on those people. I'll tell you what, that just rubs me. It's like, no.
Very true.
Oh my gosh, Miss Donna, I hate to do this, but our time is like practically up. We got like 5 minutes. If you could let everybody know how to get in touch with you and you know.
I would be delighted to do that. All right. First of all, my website, I actually have two. Delphi, like the Delphi Oracle, D-E-L-P-H-I, international.com. That is the website title. My business name is Delphi Vision International, Inc. And I have another website, which is Mrs. Sebos Classic, and that's S-E-E-B-O-S, Mrs. Sebos Classic. But to make it easy, just go and type my name, Donna Sebo, S like Sam, E-E, B like boy, O. I do private sessions with people. I also, just like with you, I do interviews.
Okay.
I have authors from around the world on my radio show. And again, all you have to do is type in with Google or whatever your server is, just my name, and there's all kinds of links there. And my show programming is with Warriors for Peace at 7 to 8 p.m. every Wednesday. And then following that, there is my daily show, Monday through Friday, the Donna Sebo Show, which is from 8 to 9 p.m. On both of these programs, I feature authors.
Nice. Well, we got like 30 seconds left, so I want to thank Miss Donna again. Thank you, caller, for calling in, and thank you for my reading. Lots for me to think about, and I want to say I hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Thank you again, Miss Donna. Next show is going to be Jack Duffy, a Fort Worth, Texas lawyer who is also a John F. Kennedy assassination guy. So that's going to be interesting. So until next time, thank you, Miss Donna. Have a great day.
Pleasure.
See you, people. Bye. Bye-bye.
We appreciate you tuning in to Let's Talk with Emma every other week on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time.